Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
All right. Can you do the Andy look ahead?
Yeah, all right. By the way, I just started standing up.
And James Strebel.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday edition of The Take. We got James Strebel. His wife is hiding a pickle. We'll find out where. Pat 40 in the 4 o'clock hour. We got Sam Vecenie in the 5 o'clock hour. It's a loaded episode of The Take. Plus, what is Crean doing with IU? We're going to find out. He's going to eat a whole pizza. Two whole pizzas, maybe. Yeah, it's a Wednesday edition of The Take.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
A reminder, ESPN Louisville, your play-by-play home for the NFL, including Super Bowl 56. Our next broadcast coming up Saturday, Bengals-Titans, 4:30. About 4:30 when you guys are done with the UK Post, followed by Niners and Packers. And then on Sunday, Rams and Bucks, Bills and Chiefs on all ESPN Louisville stations. So that's coming up over the weekend. Should also remind you, tomorrow night, Louisville, the women are in action. Jeff Walls and company, they're at NC State. That's a top five matchup. And we'll have the postgame show. Dave Skull, Chrissy Banta tomorrow night, about 9:30 or so, over on 93.9 The Ville and the ESPN Louisville app. The same thing. You hear from Walls, you hear from the players, coaches, calls, texts, and much more. So we are busy, busy, busy here on ESPN Louisville. Well, let's get Pat 40 from Sports Illustrated. I saw him sipping an adult beverage on Friday. It was lovely. That's always nice to be noticed in public by a great journalist. Pat 40 joins us from Sports Illustrated. Good afternoon, sir. How's Indianapolis?
Like last week, except a little less cold, I guess. You know, but still not quite America's garden spot.
No, I would imagine that's the case. So what is going on? What is going on there, I guess? What is happening in Indianapolis with the NCAA?
A lot of wonky affairs, really. You know, it's, administrative stuff. And the basic headlines, I guess, is that, you know, they're trying to ratify this new constitution, which will basically give each of the divisions more autonomy to run themselves the way they see fit. So, like, Division One will have a set of rules, Division Two will have a set of rules, Division Three will have a set of rules. And they're not really even making the rules here. They're just giving themselves the power to go ahead and make the rules. So, as it was put to me, like, not much is happening here, but in, like, the next 1 to 3 months, we should actually see some things, like, start to happen.
Boring NCAA stuff in the city of Indianapolis. About the worst thing to cover, Pat. What you're doing right now is hazard pay type stuff for Pat 40 here. He's from Sports Illustrated, at by Pat 40 if you want to follow him there, SI and SI.com. Before a couple national nuggets, let's go local. How surprised, and this has been what we've talked about today, yesterday, and then on Monday, it was a kind of a flip of the switch, if you will. The last two games, Louisville basketball losing at home by double digits to North Carolina State. NC State's not very good. On the road to a bad Pittsburgh team, a loss there. All sorts of supposed dysfunction, and now it's openly being talked about who the next coach is going to be. What do you make of where U of L is? How surprised are you this is the road seemingly we might be going down?
Well, I am surprised in the big picture because, I thought Chris Mack was a good hire, and I'm not saying it's like over for him, but boy, it's bad right now. It's really bad, and I mean, they look like a collection of guys that were thrown together that don't really know how to play together and maybe don't even enjoy playing together. They've got a coaching staff that was remade on the fly and doesn't really seem to be adding much. you know, the offensive savant from down under hasn't really done anything savant-like that I've seen. And, you know, they're a huge disappointment. The ACC is terrible. Like, yeah. if Louisville's doing 60% of what it should do on a normal basis, they'd be winning the ACC right now. So
UofL's losing to terrible teams, Pat. They're losing, yeah. They're losing to all the terrible teams. It would have been like if Satterfield lost to Syracuse and Duke. I mean, that's essentially what UofL's doing right now.
Yeah, no, it's bad. I mean, I said when it came to football, I thought the fans maybe just kind of needed to suck it up and rally a little bit more. But basketball, I can't blame them for being outraged. It's a bad product, and Louisville is not a bad basketball product university or a bad basketball product city. So I cannot fault the fans one bit for being really, really disappointed with the way things are going.
Is that simply because that was going to be my follow-up with Satterfield, you know, I don't want to say a longer leash, but with Satterfield, hey, you know the thought process, give it another year. You were very consistent that you thought Satterfield should and would be back, and he is. So with Mac, you feel differently because I got to be honest, I mean, reputable people, I mean, that's the story now for the next 2 months for me is we're already talking about the next coach, and I can't believe that we're here with that. I really can't. So you feel that's okay?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not ready to discuss the next coach yet, but I understand fans and the way they work, and certainly the way talk radio works, you know, and like everybody's given up, and now, okay, what if they win the next three? Does that all of a sudden then, oh, wait, no, things are okay? I mean, it's January. I don't think you bail on the season or on a coach at this point unless – you know, things were really, really haywire. And they're bad. They're disappointing, like I said. But it's not like, you know, the facility is falling down on top of them. So, you know, I'm a little bit of two minds about it. Like, again, yeah. I dissatisfaction, completely understand it. But at the same time, I've seen seasons flip on a dime, and maybe this one can. But boy, oh boy, they've got to get some guys who play like they like each other, care about each other, and like they're being coached by people who have a plan. And right now I just don't see much of that.
Pat 40 with us here at By Pat 40. Pat, I'm gonna have you guess, especially even around our office, do you know what the most popular name, if Mac were to be gone in whichever way, you know, if he left or, you know, pulled a Tubby Smith, Shaka Smart, or an agreement of firing, a straight up firing, whatever it may be, do you know the name that's out there? Because it's going to stun you if you don't. I cannot wait for your reaction.
I do not know the name.
Okay. The name that these guys want, and I love this guy. Bruce Pearl.
who are these guys that want Bruce Pearl?
Well, around our office, everyone. Wow, Twitter. I mean, he's the name. He's the hot name.
Okay.
The first name out there is Bruce Pearl. You need to know, Pat. Your brain needs to know that this is what I'm dealing with. The guy who had, you know, a show calls not even a decade ago.
Well, not only that, who just really was really, really fortunate to survive with a 2-game suspension from the NCAA for the most recent NCAA situation he was involved in. Really? You want to hire that guy and bring him in when you still have to face an infractions hearing? Are you kidding me? No.
Do you think UofL will have an AD in here to make the decision, whether it's heard or not? I mean, just your guess. Can you have an interim AD make a basketball decision this big? I don't think you can.
Probably not. I mean, there's multiple layers to this. First, don't have a president yet, right?
Right, right.
Theoretically would want one of those before you name an AD. And if you haven't named a president or an AD, do you really fire a coach? And if you do fire the coach, who are you getting to come in and take over a program that is still under an NCAA mushroom cloud? Do you think? I mean, if I were Bruce Pearl, I wouldn't come take this job right now. So I think really, like, the most logical outcome of this is Chris Mack gets another year, because I just don't see you being able to have the leadership in place to make a move, and then who are you hiring and who wants the job right now? I mean, Louisville basketball is one of the most valuable entities in college sports. But at the moment, it's pretty toxic in terms of like what coach you're going to get to come in and take over. Maybe you sell them the way Mack was sold. It's like, hey, give me a long-term deal. I'll ride out the NCAA storm, and then we'll get it going. But the NCAA storm's still going now. I mean, it was ongoing in 2018. It's still ongoing in 2022. So, you know, you've got to deal with that. And I'm not sure there's another Chris Mack out there who's a proven coach who says, yeah, I'll come and take over that thing.
Well, I agree with you, and this is the big debate right now. And Pat Forty with us. Fans don't agree with you, Pat. Fans think they can get anybody here. I mean, Nate Oates, Mick Cronin, Bruce Pearl, Holtman. These are the names that are openly being talked about around the office. I thought, well, what's the next level down, right? Like, like a Cooley from Providence or someone like that. What would be the next level down? Hell, even talking about Kenny Payne, and no, it's Nate Oates, Musselman, Bruce Pearl. I mean, they think they're going to, and they might. I have no idea. They think they're going to get that level of a guy making a lot of money at one of these other nice basketball places to leave and come to them. Most of them do.
Well, I mean, you're allowed to think that, but it doesn't mean you're right, you know. And maybe they would be. Maybe you can get somebody to do it, but. Again, I think it's a pretty tough sell to try to get one of those guys to leave a good job right now for a program that still could be facing a potential multi-year postseason ban. I mean, yeah. Who does that? So I don't think you can get those names of people that you put out there to say, oh, yeah, I want to jump on that. I mean, I would wait and see if and that's another reason why I think you want or you may end up holding on to Chris Mack. Is that a year from March, in March 2023, everything should be decided, and you should know where you stand, and in that case, then you can make a call. Okay, we're out of the tunnel. We're out of the NCAA tunnel. Come take this job. It's a great job.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of clarity and think it's all going to be hurried up here in the next couple months is just asinine, whether it be NCAA, U of L president, probably U of L AD is going to take some time. There's a lot to get done here in a month and a half, 2 months. It's just not going to happen. And some interesting timing, potentially saving Mack, saving Satterfield for one more, year apiece. Pat Forty with us. Quickly, on the Kentucky side, Pat, when you flip everything to college basketball, if Kentucky wins tonight and Kentucky wins on Saturday, you might be writing about Kentucky. Might be BBN is ready to be that cocky, chesty fan base. Well, hell, they mostly are. But this Kentucky team starting to potentially look like one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it only takes one win in a row for them to get a little chesty. So they're extra chesty now, and I can't blame them. They look great. I mean, what they did to Tennessee was incredible. That was as good a performance as I've seen from a team this season. And you look at the pieces, the way they're coming together now. Obviously, you've got Shibwe, but the way Brooks has been playing, and Grady and everybody else now, it's like the lights are all coming on, and they're playing very well together. Now, it's a tough league, and they do have some good games this week. I'd be shocked if they don't beat Texas A&M. I just don't think A&M's that good. But then things get a little more real after that. We'll see where they stand by Monday. But they are moving up with a bullet right now, I would think, in like most people's mock brackets.
Yeah, I mean, they moved up from like a 7 seed to about a 4 seed, 5 seed here in just the last few games. And again, quad one opportunities when you talk about tonight at A&M, you talk about Saturday at Auburn. Of course, Bruce Pearl, the next Louisville coach, we can always ask him about that in the press conference. Mississippi State's going to be a quad one right now, a tournament team. And then the big Kansas game. Okay, so you wrote about this. This came out, a couple days ago, and I want to get your thought on this before we get Pat Forty out of here. Jim Phillips coming out in the ACC. Hey, we don't want expansion. Our players don't want it. Our coaches don't want it. Other conferences do want it. The ACC doesn't want it. What are the reasons? What is your theory behind all this? And then you gave Jim Phillips a quick fix, which you can find Pat's article there on SI.com. What do you make of this offseason story of the ACC not wanting expansion right now?
Well, I mean, it really doesn't make sense on the face of it. If you're trying to do what's best for your league, you should want more teams in because they got left out of this last tournament. And if Clemson doesn't come back to superpower status, you're going to get left out of future playoffs as well. So, you know, they should want it. Now, I give Jim Phillips credit for this. First of all, he articulated the reason. Secondly, he's been really consistent about it. I mean, I met with him in November, and he was saying the same stuff that he's saying now. He's like, we got too many other problems to deal with right first in college football to worry about expanding the playoff. It's like fourth on the to-do list. Let's do these other things. And he did say, and he said consistently, I've asked our players, I've asked our coaches, they don't want to play more games. So we talked to Clemson. They played 15 games. That was they don't want to play a 16th. They don't want a longer playoff. So, you know, if this is not just lip service and if it's not camouflaging ulterior motives,
right,
then I give him credit for at least having player welfare at the top of the list, which is what everybody talks about, but they don't mean it. Now, right, in this case, I mean, I think that there is a legitimate concern about that. And if you look at most of the membership of the ACC, first of all, it's not rabid football country for the most part. And secondly, a lot of pretty high-powered academic institutions in there, and they probably want their players to actually concentrate on finals during finals week as opposed to playing a playoff game. So, you know, there's a lot of variables there, but I do think that there, while I want a bigger playoff, and I think a bigger playoff will happen, there's enough opposition to it, specifically from them, but also to a degree from their alliance mates, the Big Ten and the Pac-12.
Yeah,
that I don't think we get it until 2026.
As a follow up, Jim Phillips, he took over, and in his ACC media days for football, the big event in August or whatever. I mean, he said a dedication to football. And they have a bunch of universities that aren't dedicated to football. And I mean, he can say that, but then when they're against their teams having a better chance of getting in a prestigious tournament and actually having a chance, anyone outside of Clemson, they don't want to do it. Right? I mean, you can't have it both ways would be my only rebuttal. Like the player health, I understand all of that. Yeah, I mean, we all look the other way, but he says a dedication to football back in August and then fighting from November to now about expanding the playoff, when that would have helped. I mean, they could have got two teams in. You could have got Wake Forest and Pittsburgh, right? And Kenny Pickett's going to play in that game if they're the 12 seed, isn't he? Oh, you best damn well believe he's going to play in that game. But in the bowl game, he didn't. I don't know. I find the ACC to be very confused and conflicted who they are on the football side. They don't know who they are.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think those are good words for it, confused and conflicted. And yeah, who do they want to be, and what's it going to take to be that? And, yeah, I mean, a lot of mixed messages for sure coming out of Greensboro. And, again, I can't fully understand, like, especially in college sports is the most self-interested place in the world. Like, everybody's in it for themselves. And what's best for the ACC clearly is a bigger playoff, but they've got people standing in the way of it. And
yeah,
and right now, whether the commissioner is just going along with the presidents or whether he really believes this himself, I don't know. But again, the message has been consistent. No, we don't want a bigger playoff right now.
Well, Pat, enjoy the night there in Indy. We'll keep following everything. SI.com at ByPat40 on Twitter. Appreciate it. And we'll see you this weekend drinking beer somewhere. Not sure where, but I'll see you this weekend, I guess.
Sounds good, Andy. Let me know the spot. I'll be there.
There we go. Pat 40 with us. Always appreciate him carving out some time. I mean, I think we need to dedicate more time to Mac being back next year.
Well, I mean, Pat made a compelling case. He made a compelling case. Everybody because wanted
just,
to buy
her. It just happened with Satterfield.
Yeah. He's back.
And the timing to all of this is either really, really funny or really, really sad. If the timing were just a little bit better.
Yeah, just a little bit.
you probably have Jeff Brohm as your head coach. If the timing were just a little bit better, it would make it less sticky.
Yes.
To potentially get rid of Chris Mack and get somebody in here of consequence. I have my name. I was going to do it at 5 o'clock.
Oh, you do have
a
name?
I have a name. It's the most obvious one, yeah. We'll really? Get to it. Okay, it's Kenny Payne.
If they went for 3 hours, however many hours that Pat and Jack and Diener and Blankenbaker and all them went for Satterfield.
Right.
How many hours do they go if Mack's retained? Because Louisville basketball is different than Louisville football.
Oh, we may go like 24 hours straight.
It could be a marathon.
Like I may go to like midnight, and then Spencer will take over for me, and then I'll switch from producing to hosting from like midnight to 4 a.m.
It could be platoons.
Yeah,
we're platooning in radio hosts and producers.
Jack giving a take at 3:05 a.m.
I can't believe they dropped Chris back.
And Lawrence is calling in.
Thank you for the call, Lawrence.
For the 12th time.
For the 18th time, Lawrence is calling in with a terrible phone connection.
I know, I called
giving
in.
Giving the same tired take.
2 a.m., but I have another take. I mean, that would be...
It'd keep you up all night. That'd be your blue chew.
It would be.
You'd have to take a shift.
Louisville fans don't want that. That's the last person they want to
Louisville fans agree with you right now on
that. They do. But they don't want me dancing on their grave. They don't want that.
Texas, it would be a pivot to counteract, you know, the other 18 hours that we do.
Texas says in 2019, Jason Entz went into the ball pit at a local Chuck E. Cheese and didn't return for 3 days.
What?
Texas says Bellarmine basketball is 4-0 in conference and dating back to last season has won 14 of their last 15 games, conference games. That is impressive in just their second year in D1. Thank you for that text.
Yes.
I now ask Treble, who did Bellarmine beat yesterday?
North Texas.
That was a lot.
No. Southern Alabama.
North Alabama.
North Alabama. Damn it. I got my directions wrong.
Texas says 40 said the Cats are moving up like a bullet. L's down, guns up.
Woo!
Texter says 437-9680. Pat 40 thinks the offense is so bad because the fans aren't any better. Because the fans aren't better. Yes.
Pat 40 took your old side this time. He wasn't scolding you. He agreed with you. So back off.
Texter says, why is a post-game show live from Strebel's bedroom?
Well, that's how the internet connection works.
Texas says, is Streeble the last person in the U.S. without Wi-Fi?
I have Wi-Fi. It's just the router that I had to, like, it's better if you're plugged in directly.
Right.
Because
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah, I'm not dropping. It doesn't get all spotty and dicey and skippy. It goes right to the Ethernet cord. Bam, I'm good. Great connection. I'd rather do that than have to deal with dropping and stuff like that.
Texas says the ACC commissioner is an SEC plant, probably by Bevin.
There you go. That's what Jim Phillips is. He's a plant. I mean, can we just, like, we don't need the ACC's input on football. Like, we don't need them.
I agree with you. In fact, here's what I would say. If Miami and Clemson said, nah, we're good,
Yeah.
I think I'm pivoting back the other way. Okay. then we'll just not. We just won't. You know, we'll play each other and whatever. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
yeah, just,
stay over there. Yeah. Be in your crap league that no one respects and no one cares about. And now your basketball league is following in those footsteps. Congratulations, you'll be the pariah of college athletics by ACC. You stay in the Atlantic Coast.
Texas says Chris Bum is a bum. Chris Beard is a bum. Tell him Strebel.
They lost again.
Yeah.
K-State?
To Kansas
State. Yeah, that's a bad one. Kansas State sucks.
Hey, of course they do.
Yeah, I beat that. He just,
they beat Kentucky five years ago in the NCAA tournament.
They did. You watched that with
Entz.
Entz and me and Cooper was there, too. That's a fun night. Entz yelled the entire time.
You know, I can believe
I
that.
I needed more beer.
You know, we ran out. You had your little... your little cooler of beer. I had my little cooler of beer. They were gone quick.
Yes, they were.
Too quick.
Oh, goodness. Let's take a break. 437-9680. We'll take a break. Oh, man. The potential timing to all of this is unbelievable.
It is.
It's just unbelievable. It's need to talk about Matt coming back more. We really do.
Yeah.
Hate to tell you.
It's going
to
happen.
Let's take a break on the other end. Mike Morgan, he's calling the game tonight there. Texas A&M and Kentucky. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup. We'll do so next on this Wednesday.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Look at him
right
now.
This was the glory days, Andy. There's a national championship. I smell it. I'm sniffing it. It's coming.
And James Strebel.
Oh. It's going to be here sooner rather than later. Buckle up. Let's go. Let's freaking go.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Bum has the post-game show in his in-laws' bedroom.
Not my in-laws, it's my house. Nice try, though.
Texas says Strebel and Ents could spoon at Strebel's house until it's showtime.
I'll be watching the game. Don't spoon.
Texas says, didn't Strebel do the show from his daughter's bedroom when he gave everybody COVID?
Yes. That was where the Wi-Fi hookup is. I didn't give everybody COVID. Who all did I give COVID?
Well, the thing is, you really don't know.
I don't know.
You could have given a bunch of people COVID.
Right, I could have.
And you have no idea. Now,
no.
I would say you would have given it to me first. It's an odd way to say it.
Yeah.
But I would have been one of the first people in your life that you would
You're
have given it to.
You're the first person I called.
Yes, there you go. How about that?
You were.
Well, let's get Mike Morgan. He is on the call tonight at Morgan on Air. He's from the SEC Network and ESPN. The game tonight, 8:30 on the SEC Network. Mike, good afternoon, sir. Appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you doing?
We are fine. We are jacked up as Kentucky now. The Tennessee game on Saturday, this game, then Auburn, and then the Mississippi State would be a quad one opportunity, and then at Kansas. So the next couple weeks here is wild for Kentucky basketball. And I see it's a T-shirt night at A&M. No doubt Calipari has made note of that. You tweeted out, you know, the biggest game in the building in quite some time. This has a feel around it that if Kentucky wins this one, they're going to have to play pretty good on the road.
Yeah, I think so. And it's been a while since we've said that. It's been a while since, quite frankly, there's been a buzz in this arena. You mentioned the Reed Arena and the Whiteout. These two teams didn't play last year, and you know the year before that, they were not very good, they being the Aggies. The year before that, they weren't really good, which is why they made the coaching change. So there hasn't been much to cheer about Aggie basketball in College Station in a while. But one thing Buzz Williams does, he has unique methods, but everywhere he's been in year three, they go to the tournament and they rebuild and he finds a way to get his guys to the next level. And that's what they're certainly hoping this team is. He's gone about it a different way. Like a lot of coaches, he's hit the portal. You've got 3-4 starters that are all transfers and that have all paid off dividends. But they believe they've got a team this year that can compete with anybody in the league, and Kentucky is playing as well as anybody in the league. So I think it's one of the marquee matchups we have this week.
How much have you seen Texas A&M this year? I know you're calling games all the time. Have you seen them
right
live? Because I got to be honest, I've seen two parts of you know games. I know they have a bunch of wins. I know they're 4-0 in the SEC, but I know they have a bunch of new players and they haven't really beat anybody. You know, as of yet, hung in there against Wisconsin. How much have you seen of them?
I've had them twice. I had them in that TCU game, which really they should have won, and they've won every game since they lost it. And then I had them in the Arkansas win. So I've had them two or three times and I've watched them quite a bit. I watched the game against Missouri, just kind of scouting this game for the game tonight. And really, they couldn't have played a worse first 8 minutes in that game. They didn't score a point in the first two TV timeouts. I think they were 0 for their first 11. I mean, they were just ragged. But in the second half, they came back. And again, that's where, you know, from an intangible standpoint, that's what stands out more than the roster itself. I mean, you're going to watch this game tonight. You're not going to be familiar with a lot of names. You're not alone. I mean, Andre Gordon is a guy from last year you might remember. Quentin Jackson from last year you might remember. But really, it's Marcus Williams, a transfer from Wyoming. It's Henry Coleman, a transfer from Duke. It's Tyrese Radford, a transfer from Virginia Tech. And these are the guys that have really made the difference. They've all bought in. It's a typical Buzz team. They'll play defense. They're tough. But the biggest difference statistically, and I never saw this coming, they went from last in the league last year in three-point shooting to number one this year, shooting over 38%. That's the number that really has propelled them to a 4-0 start in league play as much as anything else. You can be good and you can be tough and all this and that. If you can't hit shots, it's really tough to win games in this league. But they have been hitting shots from outside, and they're not the biggest team in the world. But if you can play good D and you can hit threes, you're going to win a lot of games.
Mike Morgan with us here on ESPN 680 1057. He'll be on the call tonight. Kentucky and Texas A&M. Reminder, we'll postgame show. Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show. Ours at about 10:30 here on 680 1057. You may know, does Buzz dress up for the game or does he go sweats like all the other coaches? Because he's a good dresser. He's also a very sweaty man. I'm also a sweaty man, so I understand his issues.
Yeah, no, I think Buzz is not only prone to dress up, but he's like a suspenders guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he takes it another level.
So he's still doing he's that? Just, even though coaches are dressing down?
This year.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He has this year. I don't expect him to scale back. So, you know, he's not buying off the rack. He's got a custom guy, I'm sure. So he's gonna look dapper. He'll be ready to go. I'm sure he'll be sweating. There'll be a lot of people in the building, so that'll make it a little warmer than normal at Reed Arena. So, yeah, I think all that could be well in play tonight.
Mike, my favorite moment, you need to go back, when he was at, his last stop.
I think it was
Virginia Tech. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was. They played at West Virginia, and they beat West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
And Buzz danced at midcourt afterwards. Again, you need to Google this. It's awesome. Hilarious. Buzz danced afterwards. And then you've been a part of this. The TV people, ESPN, brought him over to the sideline to sit down and put a headset on and do the interview. And the West Virginia student section was right behind him. And I thought they were, it was like zombies, Mike. I thought they were going to come over the railing and attack Buzz because he was, you know, heckling them for beating them in their place. You got to Google it. It's my favorite Buzz Williams memory, if you will.
Yeah. You know, Buzz is a unique story in general, right? I mean, he's from a small town in Texas, Van Alstine. He didn't play college basketball, right? Which, I mean, I think he would tell you himself, if you looked at him, you wouldn't anticipate he had a great basketball career as a player. So he's from a small town with, like, no traffic lights. He is not going to get a coaching job right away, so he's a manager. He's a manager of a JUCO team, then an NAI team. He's sending out, like, hundreds of letters a week just begging for the opportunity to be an assistant for somebody's staff. Finally gets that opportunity, and then works his way to Marquette, then works his way to Virginia Tech, and then here he is at A&M. So he's taken an unusual path compared to, like, a Coach Cal or just about every other coach you see in Division I basketball. But, it's worked for him. He's the ultimate grinder, and nobody's going to work harder than him. He's got unique methods. I mean, today, for example, we're at shoot-around, right? If you're at a shoot-around these days, you know that typically they're blasting, like, hip-hop music. That's what the players want to hear. They want to get juiced up. He's playing, like, 1960s, I don't know, like, big band music. I did hear a little Earth, Wind, and Fire, but for the most part, it was like something that your dad would have on his 8-track player. It's just everything that he does is different. It's unique. You get that when you talk to them. Everything is just kind of outside the box, but you got to go with what you know, and it's worked for him so far.
Mike Morgan with us. He's on the call tonight at Morgan on Air if you want to follow him there. All right, you mentioned the shoot-around. John Calipari and his squad come in here, the winners of three in a row. And like I said, now really begins the meaty part of their season. They can acquire a bunch of quad one wins here. And if they do, BBN's ready to explode, Mike. They're ready to consider themselves one of the top teams in the country. The guard play has been dynamic. Shibwe may have 20-20 tonight. What did you go to their shoot around? I guess what do you make of getting ready for this game? What do you make of where Kentucky is? How confident they are as a team?
I think they're really confident. It's just a different Coach Cal than what I've seen. Now, 2 years ago, Coach Cal was pretty confident because that, if we didn't have COVID, that was a team that could have gone to the Final Four. I'm convinced with Quickley and those guys. The last year was a disaster. We all know that. I don't think Coach Cal had a whole lot of fun. And it was just the makeup of that team never was going to succeed. In a COVID year, in a non-COVID year, sellout crowds, no crowd. It just, the parts were not there. This team has the parts. And I always try to tell people, not all five-star blue-chip recruits are built the same way. Ty Washington is unique in that he's a young man with unbelievable talent that doesn't feel like he's got to go out there and enhance his stock by making unnecessary plays. And I got to get my touches. I got to get my shots. I got to play hero ball. He doesn't do that. He lets the game come to him. And so when you look at the numbers, the assist to turnover ratio, the shooting percentages, he's shooting 50 from the field, 40 from three, 80 from the line. I'm going to bring this up tonight. So a little sneak preview.
I crunched
some numbers. That is the only player in the SEC that's doing that. 50 from the field, 40 from three, 80 from the line. He's a 19-year-old freshman. There's guys that have been playing in this league for 45 years, and they can't touch those numbers. He's one of the few players in the country that is putting up numbers like that, and he makes it look easy. Then you've got Savir leading the league in assists. You've got Shibwe leading the nation in rebounding. And Grady has been a very, very good pickup that we never know how these mid-major guys that get their shot off against lesser athletes in smaller conferences, how they're going to look when they get here. Well, in the case of Kellen Grady, just fine, thank you very much. He's going to be playing in the league, shooting threes like he's doing now. He's been huge, so you can't just play zone on Kentucky like you could a year ago because they've got zone busters now. I just love the makeup of this team overall, and I think Cal can feel that it's got a chance to be a special team even in a loaded SEC this year.
Yeah, Mike, they flipped their team. I mean, coaching staff, about coaching staff, the guard situation, I mean, everything, bigs, like everything flipped, and they're shooting at a much higher clip. They're not going to do what they did every night to Tennessee, embarrassing that team on Saturday, but they are offensively, they can offer some shooting, whereas that has just not been the case. Mike Morgan with us. Who's the best team you've seen so far?
Auburn.
In all your travels, is Auburn the best team?
I think Auburn is one. I think Kentucky is two, and then quite frankly, there might be a little bit of a drop off. You know, I've got Alabama on Saturday. They're good, but they've got weaknesses. LSU is good, but also has weaknesses. I just think the most complete teams in this league are Auburn and Kentucky, and that's going to be obviously a phenomenal matchup on Saturday. But I think Auburn is the most talented top to bottom. I think Kentucky is not far behind. And then I think there's a little bit of a gap. And then 3 through 8 are all pretty good. But I just don't think they're in the class right now of Auburn and Kentucky.
Mike Morgan with us. You do TV, but you also do radio. So you've been in like NFL games and everything else. What's the best game you've had this year? What's the best game?
Oh, if you go back to Halloween night, I had Tom Brady and the Bucks at the Saints, and that was before the Saints lost Jameis Winston. In fact, he went down with the injury in that game, so the Saints were looking like a playoff team. Brady throws 4 touchdown passes. I mean, he's looking as good as ever. And then the Saints stay in the game even after Winston goes down, and then they wind up clinching it on a pick six on the final drive at the Superdome on Halloween night, which Halloween can be a scary place no matter where you are. But when you're in New Orleans after an emotional Saints victory, that's a freak show beyond belief.
That would be
my number one overall. I've done games at SoFi, which is an incredible venue, and San Fran, and a lot of these teams I've seen in the playoffs, I had them this year. But I think my favorite one would have to be Bucs Saints.
Yeah, you know, being West Coast there, you mentioned seeing San Fran. I'm a Giants fan. As long as they beat the Cowboys, that's all that matters. They have Cal Shanahan. You did what you had to do this year, and you can do whatever else. Well, have a good call tonight, Mike. Appreciate the time. Take care. Safe travels in all of your travels. Stay safe, and we'll catch up down the road. Should be a good one tonight. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
All right, there we go. Mike Morgan with us at Morgan on Air, ESPN SEC Network. I'm pretty sure we had at least one, if not two, of his games on Compass Radio. I'm sure the listener doesn't care about that, but there you go.
I'll be looking forward to Mike Morgan's call tonight.
There you go. I'm sure you will.
Yes.
You'll be tweeting mean things at him here pretty soon.
I'm pumped.
How about that?
He likes Kentucky. He likes the makeup of their team.
There you go.
I like Mike Morgan. He's on my good list.
What else is on your good list?
Beer.
Who's on your good list right now? Who's on your naughty list?
Oh.
What are you down on right now? Is there a person you're down on? Is there like a company you're down on? Is there anything you're down on?
Not really.
It's a great question. We should do this segment every week. Jack, are you down on anything right now?
I have to think of it.
See, you need to think. Yeah, there's something in your life you're just down on.
There's got to be something.
Right.
I'd have to think.
A company wronged you.
Yeah,
something happened.
A company or a person.
I had something happen.
I guess there was the local Italian restaurant that didn't give me the salad dressing on the salad on Monday.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's something.
Yeah. There you go. That's a good one. You're down on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. I haven't been like really wronged here lately. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I need more time to think. By the way, we were sent...
What was I sent?
On Twitter, where you sent a video.
Okay.
And I haven't watched it yet, obviously, but...
Okay.
Mark Weinberg may have broken wind on TV.
I'm looking at it now. It said, did Jude just fart? Well, that's not Jude Redfield.
Yeah, that's...
That's Mark Weinberg.
That's Mark Weinberg. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to, after, you know, when we go on break... Had to listen to the sound and see if...
Yeah, but here's the problem now. We're not going to break for like 7 minutes.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So,
but
you brought this up, and now we just have to sit here.
Well, I don't...
Now what do we do with it?
I'm just excited about it. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's now funny. It's 7 minutes, and no one knows what you're talking about.
There's a video?
Because we got sent a video.
Yeah, on Twitter.
Well, do I need to send it to Jack so he can pull it up on the computer and we can listen to it?
Can listen to it and see if that did happen. I mean, he's very nervous tonight, Mark Weinberg is.
Why?
Because we could be getting this snow. You know how he is when we get snow. He gets very.
It's not snowing.
It's not nervous.
Freezing.
It's exciting. He gets excited.
No, he's excited. He's not nervous.
It's snowing and raining and sleeting.
Okay.
You get all three of them. It's going to drop to like 20 degrees.
You going to school tomorrow then?
What do you think?
You don't know.
I haven't heard yet.
You don't have any idea.
No idea.
Well, someone wake the archdiocese up.
I'll find out.
What the hell
morning.
Is he doing?
I don't know.
Is it a person or a council? I can't remember.
The archdiocese is like an entire entity.
Okay, that's what I thought.
The archbishop is the person.
The archbishop, that's what I thought. I knew I had that wrong.
Yeah.
Jack, did you ever ask your cousin who's a rabbi about hell?
No, I haven't.
You got to do it.
It's never going to happen.
He's applying for jobs right now. They're interviewing in a bunch of different places. They're traveling.
Well, you have his number and just shoot him a text. Hey, what's our stance on hell? That's all you got to do.
You act like you're going to fly him from Arizona.
Right.
To here, and we're going to do a show with him.
Yeah.
Actually, I would like to do that. Streeble's off next week. Can we get your rabbi cousin to come in studio for 1 hour of Chris Mack talk? It would be fantastic.
I'd like to talk to Jack's rabbi cousin. I have questions.
Texas says caller Emily is both on Big Rig's good list and naughty list.
I need to compile a list. But Bob won't like it. He didn't like my coaching list.
Texas says Blankenbaker was going to skip New York because the excitement of basketball coaching change would be here at home. Someone should let him know Mac will be back. So he needs to book his hotel again.
He canceled. That stunned me when I heard that. that he's not – he goes to everything Louisville. I mean, Mike Pratt and Dan Issel talked about how he went to every single Louisville football game home and away, and he canceled the ACC tournament hotel room. I was shocked. If you've lost Mark Blankenbaker, you're in trouble because he traveled. He travels every. He went to that sad game in Texas to watch them lose to Air Force, and he's not going to the ACC tournament. That's stunning to me,
especially Texas. New York. I mean, like,
yeah,
like you could go see if they lose day one. There's plenty of other stuff
that's
you could do in New York,
though. Yeah, it's expensive though.
Yeah, I mean, but you go for the New York trip, not for the team.
Texas says Jack Shirley knows what hell is. He's an IU fan.
Hell is Purdue winning their 10th straight game in a row tomorrow night.
Texas
Which
says
game the, show right here at ESPN 680.
The mitt is down on Strebel. Texas says, I promise I just tuned in today. Have you talked about Sully's pick six yet?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, man, I saw the Tim Sullivan pick his nose video like weeks ago.
We watched that like three,
maybe a couple months. Oh, it was longer than that.
Yeah, it was a while.
It's mean.
I didn't comment on it. It's let funny. Them alone. It's funny.
All right, do we want the Weinberg sound?
Well, hang on. It is funny, right, Jack? I mean, we all in agreement it's pretty funny.
But I'm not going to pile on.
It's the last time you ate a booger.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I know I've done it.
We've
done the last
done
couple
it.
Years.
Yeah, I don't know. You had those instances where you like sneeze in your hand and who knows what, you know, ricochets off or whatever. Ugh. Now, I haven't done it
it's
willingly.
An odd way. I don't know if mucus can ricochet. I think mucus sticks, doesn't it?
I don't know, but if you have all those particles flying around.
No, I don't mean
that.
No, I don't mean that. I mean the last
like a
time
booger?
You picked your nose and ate the booger. I don't mean what I meant.
I don't
Strebel.
Think I've ever like willingly picked my nose and ate
shut
a
up.
Booger.
Shut up. No one believes that.
What?
Your name's Round Daddy. You're a Kentucky fan from the South End who lives in New Albany.
And you're telling drink beer.
You're telling me in your life you've never picked your nose and ate the booger.
Not knowingly.
Oh, please.
Like I'm just sitting around
you
like.
You are full of bleep. Jack, you've done. I mean, I'm not even asking Jack. I know he has. I'm stunned by this lie.
It's not a lie.
Now, I mean, Sully, I find it mean.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say anything. I just left it alone. I'm not going to pile on. He's an elderly man.
You and the elderly man thing. Billy Reid.
Yeah, like,
why are you always starting with an elderly man? I don't like how you always start this way. Like, an elderly man can do anything in your book. Well, you know, he killed three people, but he was 65.
Not anything,
you know, I mean, hell, he's 72 years old. You know,
if he's on Medicare, he can do anything.
Yeah, he's a mass murderer. You know, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Elderly men have a different, and women. We've all had, like, you know, grandparents or uncles or aunts or whomever that you reach a certain age and they just don't care. Like, they're just saying do whatever they want. They're like, I've lived on this earth X amount of years.
Yeah, but that's not Tim Sullivan. He's a professional. He's a journalist.
Yeah,
whether you like him or not, he's not in the home.
I'm not saying
he's like he's on his deathbed.
What are you doing?
You don't have to be in the home to say I'm going to do what I want to do and to hell with anyone who thinks whatever about it. They don't care anymore. Like, whatever. You don't have to be in the home to have that stance in life.
Texter says money means nothing to Blank. He eats at Ruby's every night.
This is true.
Texter says Blank only travels so he can brag to Diener about traveling. Texter says Strebel's a liar.
Not a liar.
Jack, you have no opinion on this, do you? I mean, you're embarrassed. What are you embarrassed?
No, I'm not.
Everyone's done it.
Is
Jack embarrassed? You guys are leaving me on an island here.
I'm just saying,
like, I'm the gross one. Like, you've never done that
the
before.
The last time,
40 years old,
picked a booger. I don't remember.
You've done it in the last year. I'd be willing to say. I'd be ready to bet every amount of money.
Okay.
I think there's a difference between picking the booger and then eating the booger.
I've picked it like. Put it in the Kleenex or like
flicked it away
in the garbage or something like that. Yeah, I've done that.
Texas says Andy's acting like eating boogers is normal. It's bleeped up. No, I'm saying one time. People saying he's never done it. That's ridiculous.
I don't recall
it
if I ever
ridiculous.
Have or not. I don't have like a memory of me eating boogers.
That's a weird thing to have a memory of.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I mean, I guess I'm blessed with a great memory.
Maybe you are.
Maybe that's just it.
You remember when you're like 7 years old and you ate a booger in class or something.
This guy has texted us about Eric Bledsoe for 3 days in a row.
The Altra guy?
Texter says Eric Bledsoe sucks. Texter says play the video on the air. Great point. So where are we with the video?
Oh, I got it ready to go.
Okay, did you listen to it or what?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Let's go.
This air is. It's 8 in Des Moines, Iowa. The temperature drop cold this air is. It's 8 in Des Moines, Iowa.
Like, I mean, the pause there is what kills Weinberg.
It does.
Yes, it is.
Otherwise, you know what I think? I actually think it's like a producer.
Like the producer?
Yeah, because there's people on the air.
Sure.
Or people, you know, behind the cameras. And I don't know how many people. They got so many damn robots now.
Right.
And I don't do TV. Thank you, Lachlan McClain.
Yeah.
But I mean, what? There's a couple people at least on the floor there.
Sure.
That would be my guess. Producers, they you know, Weinberg is very fit.
He is.
He hasn't had a carb since 2003.
He has very nice suits.
But you would imagine the behind-the-camera guy
was like me.
Is wearing, a hoodie, and like he just, like, he'll crush a heater in the parking lot.
Right.
And that man had chili.
Exactly.
At about 2:30.
Eddie had
so you're saying he looks like the process.
Yeah, and well, no, I'm saying he's a bigger man.
He's heavier than the process.
Yes, he's a bigger man.
Like, picture me dressed like the process.
I give the process such a good one today. And he didn't follow up, and it was, like, safe. Diener said, I watched the new Steve Harvey show last night where he's the judge. And I go, that's the whitest thing that's been said on ESPN Louisville.
Where he's the judge.
Yeah, and I go, follow up. He goes, I will. And then he never did.
He never did anything.
He never did. I'm like,
I haven't watched that show yet. Have you watched it?
No.
Okay.
No.
I haven't either. I saw the previews.
Texas says you're on an island. Texas says, wow, Andy, I've never done that. Texas says, absolutely.
Oh, there you go. You have somebody on your team.
Texas says, a weatherman farting is great marketing.
How so? I need that explained.
It's not bad, I don't think.
No, it's not bad. It's funny. I mean,
can we play this again? He's talking about the air drift going to Iowa.
And then,
I believe.
This air is. It's 8 in Des Moines, Iowa.
You know what? I think it's Weinberg.
So I think it's him, and I'll explain. So when it happens, he kind of like goes up on his tiptoes for a second.
Wait, you're saying a fart levitated Weinberg.
Like, he becomes taller for a
second. Hang on,
I'm watching
the video
wind.
Now. Here, hang on. Here, hang on just a second. Oh, it's totally Weinberg.
Oh,
yes.
No,
my God.
Weinberg.
It's Weinberg.
Oh
my God.
It's 8 in Des Moines, Iowa.
Come here.
I got to see it. All right, here I come.
Here, hang on. His face gives it away.
It really does.
It really. His eyes light up. Oh, no.
He did it. His head tilts.
He did.
His head tilts.
My God!
Weinberg! What caused Weinberg to do that? Had to be something like fiber.
Texas air is. It's 8 in Des Moines, Iowa.
Texas says it sounded like a protein fart.
It does. Yeah, protein or fiber. That's exactly right. They wouldn't have chili fart.
Texas says he's a vegetarian. They fart 10 times more than most people. Texas says, I bet Big Rig ate one of his kids' boogers when they were younger.
Ugh, no. Not on purpose.
You know, I listen to Boomer Esiason's show in the morning sometimes in New York City.
Okay,
He told the story. His son had a couple different fathers called in that they have done this. That their son has been in public.
Yeah.
Their kid's been in public with a snotty nose.
Oh, yeah.
And was miserable and there was nothing, you know, he didn't have anything. They sucked the snot right out of them.
With their mouth?
That's a rejoin right there.
Well, what do you mean suck? Like, what do you mean? Like with one of those little snot suckers?
Nope.
Like, ugh! I've never done that. Like, I've taken my sleeve and, you know, wiped a nose or whatever. Like, I've done that. But good. No, that's not. Those people are lying. No one's done that. No one's done that. Who would do that?
Apparently, Boomer Esiason did it.
Boomer did that? Now I'm going to look at him this weekend on the CBS's coverage in his nice suit and think about him sucking snot. I don't want that image. He looks good on TV. What's he doing?
I can't get over watching this Weinberg, man.
He farts. And
right
he,
on air.
Physically.
Oh, and he keeps going, man.
Like a professional.
I'll tweet it out. 5 o'clock hour coming up next.